Praise the Lord. Let all things indeed be for Jesus. Now, we know in our heritage of that wonderful great Baptist missionary, William Carey, who went overseas to bring the word of the Lord to India. And we rejoice that his model for that was Barnabas and Saul, sent out as overseas missionaries by the Holy Spirit. But we should not reduce mission to the adventures of travelling missionaries. Over the centuries, churches have developed mission as a variety of local outreach opportunities to reach a variety of local people or to address particular social difficulties. Hence the food banks, hence what Nigel did with TWAM, hence our children and youth activities, hence our cafe. But this is important in terms of whether our mission is about going overseas or about addressing local issues. There are some principles in Acts 13 that we can still apply. See, firstly, mission, the work and its workers are authorized and commissioned by the leadership of the Holy Spirit. And this means it's really important for us to discern, as the early church did, is this work that we contemplate of the Holy Spirit? Is it our own bright idea? It means we need to give deliberate space and time to seeking and confirming what God wants us to do, not rushing ahead in our own abilities, in our own interests, in our own thinking. And secondly, because mission is God's work, we need to recognise that he is the one who commissions the mission leaders by the whole church, from within the body of the sending church. Thirdly, the mission work is overseen by the church. As I said earlier, in chapter 14, we see Barnabas and Paul returning to Antioch, and they themselves gathering the church together and reporting all that God had done through them. You know, they don't wait to be asked. They call the church together. They recognize their accountability to the church and they initiate the reporting process. And fourthly, and we can see this in this whole chapter, the measure of the mission's success is not in the miles travelled, or the activities organised, or the effective performance of the programmes adopted, but it's in whether or not God opens the door of faith to the Gentiles. That is, to people who are outside the church, people who are not yet Christians, are they being given the word of the Lord? Now, they may not accept it, but some whose hearts are opened by the Lord may come to believe. See, and so the question is, when we reflect on our mission, are the Gentiles being given the word of the Lord? Are those who are appointed for eternal life coming to believe? Do the converts become disciples who, even in the face of persecution, are filled with joy and the Holy Spirit? I mean, consider for a moment. If Barnabas and Paul had come back to the church in Antioch with no report of God opening the door to the Gentiles, wouldn't the church have seriously questioned, were they truly sharing the gospel? I can't imagine either the church or the Holy Spirit would have sent them out again. See, are our expectations of what the Lord will do just as high as theirs? Are our accountability standards for the outreach that we engage in as high as theirs? Do we expect the Lord to open the door to the Gentiles? Would we be deeply disappointed if none of them, if hardly any of them, came to believe? It's interesting also, isn't it, that the main opposition at this time that Paul and Barnabas experience is not from hostile Gentiles. Oh, that will come. But it's from jealous fellow worshippers of the God of Israel, who take upset against the message they are giving. Now, there's another form of mission which isn't here in the positive, but is in the negative. See, Jesus in the positive tells us to go and make disciples. This going refers to the opportunities that come to us as we go about our lives. And these opportunities may come in the ordinary meetings we make in the day as we go about in life's ordinary humdrum events, or in the special occasions of shared at work, shared hobbies, shared engagement, even sharing time in hospital together because we are not well. In our life group yesterday, Vanessa shared how when she was in hospital, she was led by the Holy Spirit to pray, even in her own weakness, for another patient. Her prayer was a gift of encouragement to the other. And Kanawe shared how in her new work, the Lord was encouraging her to speak of Jesus into an online community of virtual strangers to herself and probably also to Jesus. Now, in Acts 13, we see this in the negative. When the false prophet and sorcerer Bar Jesus, see how Jesus' name is used by the enemy for his deceitful purposes. Well, when that sorcerer Bar Jesus, in his work as an attendant of the proconsul, uses his position to oppose the good news, he is defeated by the Holy Spirit acting through Paul. But what this conflict tells us, and indeed, if I may suggest, the resistance of the people who belong to God to the good news of Christ, what these things remind us is that mission is spiritual warfare. Now, as people brought up in a material world, we often place the hope of what we do in sharing the good news in our talents, in our energy, in our activities, in our programs, in the input we make. And if it doesn't work, we see this as that's just how things are in the world today. Now, our efforts, our talents, our giftings, our programs, etc., are all vital in their own way, but all of them are handmaidens to our faith in the Lord. We are engaged in spiritual warfare. And there is more to our failure to bring people to belief than the materials that we invest in and the energy which we give. See, it may well be that one, if not the main reason why many churches struggle to thrive is that they do not take seriously the idea that their life and work is opposed by spiritual forces of evil. And because this reality is not taken seriously, these powers have an open door to frustrate the work of these churches by internal and external confusions and opposition, as we saw in chapter 13 and in previous chapters of the book. Paul, writing in Ephesians, encourages, almost commands us to take up the armour of God to close the door against opposing spiritual forces, which of course brings us back to worship, to fasting, to prayer. So as I have invited people to offer ideas for future worship, so I'm also inviting people to meet in a regular Zoom prayer meeting, not to talk about prayer, but to pray for all that God wants us to do. You know, God wants us to pray that he will open doors. God wants us to pray against the spiritual forces that oppose us. God wants us to do what we can in prayer, that the word that goes out to the Gentiles may enter their hearts that they may believe. And so to summarize, in these different reflections, we have seen that chapter 13, and indeed the whole of Acts, is written in the living expression of God's mission. I mean, Luke was there. He was engaged in it. He was there with Paul and Barnabas. Later, we see how he writes in the first person about these activities and experiences. And the Acts of the Apostles, here and elsewhere, reveals principles and lessons about what it is to be a church committed to playing her part in God's mission for the redemption of creation. And all of which, of course, raises a very simple question. Are we accepting of those principles? Do we have the courage, the will, and the wisdom to interpret and apply them to our reality today? In Christ I pray and trust. Amen.